The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 1, Text Number 3. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on November 12, 2012, at Vilnius Airport, Lithuania.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dharma Pravjita Kaitava Trapadamo Nirmatsaranam Sitam. Vejam vastava matra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni krite kingva prayarishvaraha. Sanjo hirjara vrujyate kratuti vishu shru shubhishtachana. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Which is the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What need is there of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Badam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakam Vitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashat Yadeshatarine. So this is a very significant verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse very clearly draws the line, completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated. What does this mean? This means that other portions of the Vedas are meant for people who are in the modes of nature. But this portion of the Vedas is for people who want to become transcendental to the modes of nature. This is meant for those who aspire to become paramahamsas, transcendentalists, you see. They're not interested in Vedic rituals for material progress. They are not interested in merging into the undifferentiated Brahman. They are interested in regaining their original loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shyamasundara, who is Krishna himself. With inconceivable, innumerable attributes, who's playing the flute, whose figure of beauty is tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and whose unique loveliness is charming millions of cupids. They are interested in such persons. So that is the those who aspire to become Paramahamsas, they are attracted to this Bhagavatam. The verse continues. This Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. So that is the requirement for understanding Bhagavatam. As long as one is contaminated by material desires, he cannot understand Bhagavatam. But if one is purifying one's heart by chanting Hare Krishna, by surrendering to Guru, by taking prasadam, by worshipping deities, etc., then he develops the pure consciousness, the pure vision to be able to actually understand what the Bhagavatam is talking about. This is one of the most profound definitions of the highest truth. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. So this is a wonderful understanding of truth. Truth is something that actually helps people. It draws the line between reality and illusion. It's like a knife that cuts through and makes a solid distinction between reality and illusion. That's what truth is. And that when that distinction is actually made between reality and illusion, then everybody is benefited. So what that means is when there is no clear distinction between reality and illusion, then that is a very inauspicious condition for the human society. And that is the present situation. People have no... They had no understanding what's true and what's untrue. They take, what is that verse in Gita? It's Yana Shastra Bhutanam Tasham Jagati Samyami Yasham Jagati Bhutani Sanasha Pashitomune. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. In the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. So this means they have it completely reversed. In English we say topsy-turvy. It's a complete reversal, you see. What is true they take to be untrue, and what is untrue they take to be true. And therefore the whole society is suffering. But the sadhus, they come with the sharp sword of knowledge, and they cut through this blob here, this philosophical blob, and they make a clear distinction between what's true and what's untrue. And that benefits the entire human society. And then that Bhagavatam continues, such truth uproots the threefold miseries. Well, that makes them sound like there's some kind of weeds and they are. And threefold misery is just weeds growing, you see, in the heart. We have three different kinds of weeds growing in the heart. Adiatmic weeds, adibhautic, and adidaivic weeds. There are three kinds of weeds growing in our heart. So there's two ways you can get rid of weeds. You ever worked in the garden? You couldn't just snip it at the surface and, oh, the weed's gone. When you come back the next day and there it's up again, you see. Such weed removal is useless, to cut it off at the surface, but you have to uproot the weed. If you weren't able to get rid of it, you see. So the society, how did they deal with these miseries? They just cut it off at the surface. So when there's a misery, what do? They smoke some cigarettes, they eat some ice cream and cake, or, you know, they have sex, or they do something to just try to forget about the misery. It seems like the misery is gone, but they're just cutting it off at the surface, and then in a few minutes it comes back again, you see. They take some marijuana, or they drink some beer, something to try to wipe out the misery. It appears that it's gone, but then it comes back again. So they're cutting off the weed at the surface, they're not uprooting it, you see. But the Bhagavatam is telling us how to get rid of the miseries by pulling them out from the very root, you see. Bhagavatam uproots the threefold miseries. Doesn't just cut it off at the surface and give you temporary relief. The Bhagavatam gives permanent relief from the threefold miseries. And then the next line, this beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need for any other scripture? Well, why did Prabhupada bring the Bhagavatam? That was the only book he brought. He brought the Bhagavatam in the trunks on the Jaladutta. Because actually the Bhagavatam is the most important word. Bhagavatam, you see. Therefore, what is the morning class in every ISKCON temple that Prabhupada established? Bhagavatam. You see. Bhagavatam is the most essential knowledge. Now, Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study to help you to study the Bhagavatam. So it's also important. But the Bhagavatam is the real... You know, Bhagavad Gita is the appetizer and Bhagavatam is the meal. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is the dessert. The real thing is the Bhagavatam, you see. And then the verse concludes, as soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. Wow, that's something. You can actually, Krishna be, you say, well, he's already there, isn't he? He's the Paramatma. Sure. But are you fully conscious of his presence? Are you fully reciprocating with him? No. You see, we're not. So Bhagavatam actually brings us to the point where we properly reciprocate with that Lord within our hearts. You see, it brings us to that point. It's called pure bhakti. But we actually realize the presence of Krishna in the form of the Paramatma, in the form of the holy name, the form of the spiritual master, the form of the deities, the form of the Pashadam. We realize Krishna in all these forms so we can reciprocate accordingly. So the Bhagavatam brings us to this position. So we're very fortunate to have this Bhagavatam. We can study it anywhere. It's like here we're at the airport studying Bhagavatam. Wherever you study Bhagavatam, it becomes as good as that place on the bank of this holy river where Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva were having the discussion in the presence of all the sages who've come from all over the planet. Wherever you have it in the temple, you have it here in the airport, you have it in your Sankirtan van. You see, wherever you may have this discussion of Bhagavatam, that place becomes as good as the sacred river where Parikshit and Shukadeva were originally speaking of. It becomes non-different from that place. So the speaker is purified, the hearer is purified, the inquirers are purified, and the very place where the discourse is taking place becomes transcendentalized. And anyone happens to be around, also they get transcendental. You see, this lady here, she's getting benefit. So, are there any questions?
Damodar, yeah. So, how I understand. If I do like my job at work, if I don't give up that work, I can't get purified. Or how it in the beginning was said, I can't reach spiritual life or goal.
So what is the question?
Does my work is one of part of my material desires? There was mentioned that a person with material desires can't understand Bhagavatam.
Well, let's put it this way. To whatever extent you've actually become free of material desires, to that extent you can understand the Bhagavatam. If you're 30% free from material desires, and that means you can get 30% understanding of the Bhagavatam. 30%. But by the grace of Guru and Krishna, even who is materially attached, he can get special mercy. And he can get a vision of what it actually is, and that will help him to get free of his material attachment. You see, even if one has all material attachments, if they hear the holy name, they take prasadam, they hear the Bhagavatam, they get a book from a devotee on the street, you see, that purifies their consciousness so they can actually understand. Understand? Bhagavatam requires purity, but Bhagavatam itself will purify you so you can understand it. See how merciful is Bhagavatam? You can't understand Bhagavatam unless you're pure, but even if you hear it in an impure state, that hearing will purify you so you can understand it. Understand? Yeah. Yeah.
How to properly know in which level I am?
How to properly understand what level I'm on? Well, there's the first level is called Sadhu Sangha Associating with Devotees. Second level is first level is having faith in the process. Yeah. Second level is associating with devotees. The third level is getting initiated. The fourth level is by following the order of your spiritual master, you get free from all the dirt in your heart. So if you're following your spiritual master's orders, that means you're in the middle of the anartha nirvritti stage. You're gradually cleaning all the anarthas out of your heart. And in the future, when you're completely free from the influence of passion and ignorance, then you'll be on the stage called Nishta. But if you're dutifully obeying your spiritual master's instructions, that means you're on the anartha nirvritti stage right now. Yeah.
How to practically feel by listening Bhagavatam that these three miseries is getting out?
How to feel you're getting free from the misery? Let me ask you this. Do you feel good hearing this class? All right, so that's the proof. It's enlivening to hear Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is very enlivening. There's the proof. By hearing Bhagavatam, you get free of misery. Okay? All right, next question. Yeah.
Why in previous times it was not allowed to speak about God to everyone, only to Brahmins?
Why formerly spiritual education was only given to Brahmins? It's something like In Lithuania you have a different law, but in the U.S. to study law you have to have a bachelor's degree first. It's considered, but you have to have a certain previous qualification to be a law student in the U.S. So one is supposed to be a brahmana before he studies Vedic wisdom, and that means he has a spiritual master. So one meaning is that without actually taking the guidance of a spiritual master, you can't understand. Right? Without spiritual master, you can't properly understand. You see, other, it's just mental speculation. So Brahman means you have a spiritual master. And you have proper, you're approaching in humble submission to your spiritual master to understand what is Bhagavatam. That's why it means says like that. You can't just on your own come in without properly situated as a brahmana. See, brahmana means twice born. That means initiated. So you have to have that qualification of being under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master to be able to understand. So you may say, well, we distribute books to the public. They're not initiated, but they're getting Prabhupada's purport. So they're getting the training from the bona fide guru. Because we don't just give the text, we give the purport also. Does that help you to understand?
Yeah, but I was only thinking about one example. Mm. When in Ramanujacharya's times, the spiritual masters, Vaishnava spiritual masters, they forbade Ramanujacharya and others to preach for public. It was like sort of secret that only...
Yes, the mantra had to be kept secret. So the disciple was told, Ramanujacharya was told that you shouldn't give this mantra to the public because it's a confidential secret mantra. This mantra will liberate you, but you must keep it secret. It will be a great offense if you give it to anyone else without my authorization. So he was thinking, well, if this mantra delivers anyone who hears it becomes delivered, that would be a great blessing for the people. Now, I'll be disobeying my spiritual master, and I'll have to suffer a reaction for Guru Aparad. But all the people will be delivered, so I'm willing to take the Guru Aparad reaction so that all the people can be delivered. He went to the public place, and he broadcast the mantra to everyone. And his guru said, what do you do? I told you. He said, well, it's all right. I'm take the reaction of the people who can be delivered. He said, actually, you're properly understood. The guru realized the disciple had a better understanding than he did. So that is the those who understand the innermost purpose of the Lord, you see. Even it also it says in the Bhagavad Gita, similar statements are there. You see, don't give this to non-devotees. It's similarly stated. But if you read Prabhupada's purport, he says how the devotee, he understands the innermost purpose of the Lord. And therefore he broadcasts it to everyone. So this is reconfirmed by Lord Chaitanya. He says, Jadi dekatate kaha Krishna upadesh amara gaya guru hoyatade desh. Whomever you meet, instruct him in the teachings of Krishna. And this way, on my order, you become guru and deliver the people of this country. So that is the actual desire, confirmed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We also have the rule not to preach to the faithless the glories of the Lord. So what this means is you have to tailor your presentation to your audience. Just like when I'm speaking to you, I wouldn't speak to a general public audience, you see. You have to present Krishna consciousness according to the level of the people so that they will become attracted and respectful. That's the meaning. So any other questions? Yeah.
How much spiritual progress depends on your own endeavor and how much on mercy?
How much of one's spiritual progress depends on one's own endeavor and on mercy? Well, you know what? It's hard to separate them because whatever endeavor you're able to make is by the mercy of Krishna and Guru. Isn't it? Who Krishna is empowering you to do anything you want to do. He's giving you the power to do anything. You can't do anything without His power. And the spiritual master is giving you all instructions on how to engage in devotional service. So whatever you're doing, you're only doing it by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So you cannot even make endeavor without Guru and Krishna's mercy. So everything is a combination of your own endeavor and mercy. It's all a combination. It's hard to separate them, really. Next question.
Can someone do some action without seniors? Without asking seniors, can someone do some action?
I think you're doing it all the time, aren't you? We're doing so many things we don't, you know, on our own. We have to just know what is the proper standard. So, I mean, you get permission every time you take prasadam by the spiritual master. Actually, the actual system for a brahmachari is unless the spiritual master invites him for prasadam, he doesn't even take. So how many times the spiritual master invited you to take prasadam? But you're taking anyway. Because we know that this pleases Prabhupada. So the thing is, you have to read Prabhupada's books, you have to know what pleases Prabhupada, and you have to do what pleases Prabhupada. That's all. I'm giving you blanket permission to do what Prabhupada said. So you have full authorization to do whatever Prabhupada said. Yeah.
Gurudev, what is the difference between, for example, in our sadhana, being regulated and acting ritualistically?
What is the difference between being regulated and acting ritualistically? That is called Niyamagraha by Rupa Goswami. To be ritualistic means you're too attached to the rules and regulations without knowing the purpose of them. That's called being ritualistic, Niyamagraha. So you need to perform the regulated principles but with full knowledge of why you're doing it. And then it's not ritualistic. If you do it without knowledge, regulated principles without knowledge is ritualistic. And with knowledge is not ritualistic. The knowledge is important. You have to know, why am I doing this? Why do I get up in the morning and go to Mangal Arati? Why do I chant Japa beads? Why do I put on a dhoti? Why do I put on tilak? Why do I do these things? You have to know why you're doing it. Otherwise, you're just doing a ritual. But if you do, you act, perform the regulated principles of bhakti yoga with full knowledge that this is a system coming down from the great self-realized sages of yore of how I can regain my lost loving relationship with Krishna, then it's not a ritual. It's a scientific process of reawakening the self within. Next question. Yeah.
Yes. Dėl to, ką pasakė, kad sekti Prabhupada, mes galim sekti Bhagavad Gita, ką pasakė, bet vis dėlto mes visi suprantam pagal savo sąmonės lygį, todėl netgi brolių radžiai atsirado kaip tie patys, kurie skaito Bhagavad Gita, kaip ir sugūrų, mes irgi suprantam pagal savo sąmonės lygį, ką būtų pasakė. Ar užtenktum, kaip tu čia rytas visą tos sėkti
Where is this line by following Prabhupada books because everyone understanding according his level, even Mayavadis be following Bhagavad Gita. So where is this line which we should do, how we understand?
You have to understand Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam from the bona fide spiritual master. That's the key. You understand by your own mental speculation, you're going to get it wrong. you take it from the bona fide spiritual master, then you will get it right. That's why the Vedic wisdom again and again and again says you must have a guru. Mundaka Upanishad. Tad Viganartam Sagurum Eva Bigatschad. If you want to realize that highest truth, you must have guru. Bhagavad Gita. Tad Vidhi Pranipatena. Paripashnayana Sevaya. Upadekshanti Te Gyanam Gyananastat Vidaharshana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So that Krishna orders you to have spiritual masters. Because without guru, you cannot understand the Vedic wisdom. It's not possible. You must have a spiritual master. Yeah.
Aš taip suprantu, kad mes guru nesuprasim, kol jo nepirmiausia ir neklausimėsim jo
čia klausimas jau visas, ne? As I understand, you will not be able to understand guru until you not make service and inquire.
I don't follow.
Without service and inquire, we could not understand guru.
Without service and inquire, we cannot. He's asking a question. He's asking, can you understand the guru without service and inquiry? No, you cannot. If you don't have a service mood, you can never understand the spiritual master. The other day, somebody approached me they had an inquiry, and I answered the question. They just shook their head no, like this. And I said, don't waste my time. Let's end this right now. They didn't want to hear submissively. They inquire, and as soon as they hear the answer, they say, no, she went like this, no, no. I don't accept your answer. So, like, she wanted to debate with me. So, Prabhupada said, unless you approach submissively, don't waste your time and the guru's time. There has to be submissive inquiry and service in order for the knowledge to be transmitted. So therefore, service means whatever order the spiritual master gives, I carry it out. It means also knowing the innermost desire of the spiritual master. To make the whole world Krishna conscious. And always serving the spiritual master's mission by preaching like anything. Distributing books. Going on Harinam. Distributing Prasad. One has to know that his spiritual master desires to make the whole world Krishna conscious. So the best service is to help him make the world Krishna conscious. Don't just eat and sleep. Get out and preach, distribute books, make devotees, make a revolution in this country. Next question. Who else has a question? Anyone? All right.
She wants to declamate one verse from Bhagavad Gita to you.
Do what with it?
Declamate, say one verse. She learned from
Oh, say it for me? Okay, go ahead. Thank you very much. Achila Bhai. Okay, anything else? Yeah.
From what depends one's possibility to render service, to render some service? From what it depends that possibility?
Eagerness. Simply depends on your eagerness. If one is eager to serve Guru and Krishna, there will be unlimited opportunities to serve Guru and Krishna. If one is not eager, he won't find any service to do. It's like someone go to the temple with no eagerness. They just think, where's the prasadam, you know? Someone who's eager, he'll come into the shoe room and see, oh, just see the floor needs sweeping. I have an opportunity for service. Let me sweep up all the dirt from the shoes of the came from the shoes of the Vaishnavas. You see? So it's just a matter of eagerness. If you're eager to serve, there'll be unlimited opportunities for service. You can walk by the kitchen. Oh, look, there's some dirty pots in the sink in the kitchen, just sitting there. And wow, I'm the fortunate devotee who saw the dirty pots first. I'm going to clean those pots, clean my heart. But if someone is not eager for service, they just say, well, you know, when's prasadam? But if you're eager for service, there'll be unlimited opportunities for service. Wherever you go, unlimited opportunities. You must be greedy for service. Lalyam, greed. That is the criterion.
So that means that according videos editing and audio kirtans editing, I'm not enough eager.
Huh?
About videos which I have taken.
Well, there are time constraints. I mean, you know. You do have only so many hours in the day. So I haven't been here to see your schedule every day. But I would say you should definitely be more eager about producing my videos. People all over the world are watching my videos and they're a year old. There's nothing from recently. It's like all of 2011. It's like you got to keep them fired up with newer and newer videos. I mean, people all over the world watch my videos. People become disciples by seeing my videos. So you have a very, very important... This video editing service is very important. If you can't do it all yourself, find somebody who can assist you. Don't you know how to do work with videos now? You're studying it in college.
I will.
You're not expert yet? Yeah, but... See, and do something. If you can't, don't find someone who can assist you. You know, if you don't have all the time yourself, use your brain and find somebody who can assist you. Not that you have to take the whole burden on yourself. Use your brain. You know, get a whole team of people, a whole team of video expert people who can assist you and churn the videos out every day. And just bombard the internet with videos. A video a day. Why not have one video every day? You know, to think big, how we can expand it more and more and more. We got to make the whole world Krishna conscious. That's our mission. We have to be very, very aggressive in this preaching work. Okay, anything else? Yeah. Our counter is down there. That's not our counter. Oh, it is. And they're opening now. Okay. They're getting ready to open. Okay. So it looks like the queue is forming over there. Finnair is opening up. So we'll stop here. And we thank you all very, very much for the wonderful, loving service you've given us here in Lithuania. So now we have some prasadam to distribute to everyone.